Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is the Snapcast, joining you as usual from Strongbox West on the west side of Atlanta, Georgia. We have a very cool person at the table today, but first, let's do proper introductions. I'm Mickey. I run the nonprofit Snapshot.
I'm Caroline Eccles, co-founder and co-principal of Wellspring Nonprofit Resource.
And our guest for the day is?
Violet Meyer of the Heating Energy Assistance Team.
Heating Energy Assistance Team.
Yes.
Otherwise known as
Heat. Heat. Yes.
What does your organization do?
We provide energy assistance to low-income Georgians.
What does low-income mean?
You usually have to be below 60% of the poverty level. If you guys are familiar with the LIHEAP program, which is a federal program, we basically meet those same guidelines.
Okay. So I was looking at that earlier. And so for a family of four, you would have to make below $43,000.
Yes.
So that's, I mean, that seems kind of low. I mean, are hard to meet. I mean, is it not? Or
it's
or one
not.
Person, it was like 18. I don't know.
It. But you know, the average income of most Americans are like $50,000.
Right.
So it's not as low as you think. That's common.
And I saw that the video that you have of the man who lived in a home, but he had to decide between selling his car or staying in his home. And if he stayed in or didn't sell his car, he'd have to live in his car.
Mm-hmm.
So
Mr. Green.
Yeah.
Yes.
But his home looked kind of nice. I don't know. I thought that looked like a very nice home. I was surprised that he had that dilemma.
Well, you know, sometimes older people have their homes paid off, but you still are responsible for property taxes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them live on, you know, Social Security or disability checks. And that income is very, very little. And sometimes they do have to choose between medication and heat. Mm-hmm. Or like Mr. Green, he had to sell his car in order to keep up his home expenses.
Well, it's also something of a reminder of how close poverty actually is for people.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So how do you fund your operations? How do you work? What's the day-to-day life of your organization look like?
Well, just so you know, HEAT is the oldest fuel fund in Georgia. We was formed in 1983 by Atlanta Gas Light, and in 2000, we became an independent 501c3. We get most of all of our money from private donors, corporations, mm-hmm. municipalities, and that's how we fund HEAT. We also have a PSC grant.
Okay. I was thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. Which that is a separate distribution thing. We have two different pots that we can distribute funds out of.
What's a PSC grant?
That's Georgia Public Service Commission.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Charlie and I met with my husband, with Tim Eccles, a couple of years ago. And he was talking about a program, like I guess a prepaid program for people who, it may not have been HEAT, it may have been lighting, but.
They also sponsor Project Share, who provides lighting.
Okay.
Through Georgia
That
Power.
May have been what he was talking about.
Yeah, because they give the grant to HEAT, Project Share, and I think it's like a Catholic church, but they do St. Vincent de Paul.
Uh-huh.
They do a lot for the state of Georgia also.
So how do people find you, and how do you find donors, and how do you make the thing work?
Well, we find donors through our board members. We also, you know, do solicitations via email, letters, newsletters. We have a great donor retention. Usually when people start supporting HEAT, they always support HEAT, which is a great thing. And that's hard for nonprofits to have reoccurring donors. So we have a great donor base, and they are passionate about what we do because it's a need that never, ever goes away.
Right.
Because heating assistance, believe it or not, it is always something that people need, and the calls never stop coming in, ever.
Well, I didn't ask this bit, but how widespread is the need for HEAT in this city?
In this city?
Or in the state. How big is your footprint?
Well, we provide all 159 counties in Georgia.
Okay.
So
that's a statewide
footprint. It is. Mm-hmm. And not only do we provide HEAT for our gas marketers, we provide all types of HEAT. Propane, firewood,
right,
in very rural areas. So if it has to heat your home,
interesting.
So
we'll
how do you get that firewood to your constituents?
We operate through community action agencies. DFACS, actually, we have a contract with DFACS, and that's the Department of Family Children's Services, and they distribute our funds. When we gather all the funds, we give them to DFACS. They divide them up with the community action agencies in each county, and they go there, put in an application, and that's the way our funds are distributed. Because we have a very, very small staff. It's only 2 full-time workers, a part-time worker, and a volunteer.
My goodness. So 2 full-time workers, part-time worker, and a volunteer, and you cover the entire state.
Yes.
And how many people get heat from y'all?
Well, last year we were able to provide over $780,000 worth of heat.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And that's just the fundraiser part. Through the PSC grant, we had $200,000 to distribute. So since 1983, we've distributed over $24 million.
My goodness.
Yes.
What would you say your biggest management challenges are?
Because we're such a small, small staff.
Yeah.
So we really have to do everything ourselves. And we know how important the need is. So just about everything we have go directly to the people. 80% of every dollar that we get go directly to paying bills. So we operate on the smallest budget there is to make sure people are covered.
So besides Atlanta, what's your second, I guess, most needed, most county or city that needs you the most?
Besides Fulton, DeKalb,
well,
Cobb.
Go outside of Metro Atlanta. Like,
I would say, I don't know the statistics on it, but just by my day-to-day calls, I'm going to assume it's the Savannah area. I get a lot of calls from Chatham County. So, but I don't have the data on that, though.
Just curious, just to see. You
but
know
that's
what,
my own speculation, just right. by the number of calls that come in. We get a lot of things from the Savannah area.
So you handle all of your fundraising in-house. Is that?
Yes.
That's you.
We do.
I mean, you say you have a huge percentage of donor retention.
Yes.
How are you tracking that?
Through Donor Perfect.
Okay.
And we have a big annual meeting every year that where we thank our donors, and a lot of them still show up. Mm-hmm. And we have these annual fundraisers, and they always come out and really support. And usually the newest donors are through old donors that they tell people about the program. And what we're doing, which is new for HEAT, because we are trying to step into, you know, the modern social media area. Mm-hmm. So now we're doing a lot of online promotion through Facebook and Instagram, and trying to just build brand awareness so people will know who we are. Because to be the oldest fuel fund in Georgia, most people have no idea who HEAT is. Now, some of our marketers may have HEAT at the bottom of your heating bill, but most of them don't. Most of them don't know until they ask for heating assistance.
And y'all do a great job with your corporate sponsors.
We do.
How do you, I mean, I know a lot of them are HEAT related, but some of them aren't. I mean,
well, our biggest donors are HEAT related, which is Georgia Natural Gas, Atlanta Gas, like Scana, all the big gas marketers, you know, Infinity. So they all contribute to the, and then we have a lot of municipalities.
Right. I saw that.
Small cities that donate. We also have faith-based groups. You know, we have the Hindu Temple of Atlanta. You have Ben Hill, United Methodist Church. And we have a couple of, you know, faith-based groups. So we do have funds from different resources. And the faith-based initiative is something that we implemented in the last 9 months, that we're trying to get a lot of faith-based groups to really contribute, because the need is so great. And sometimes smaller churches don't have benevolent funds. So this is a great way to sow seeds and, you know, spread it out past the four walls of your church.
Right.
How do other nonprofits that serve, or human services organizations, do you communicate with them to let their clients know about HEAT?
Not directly, but a lot of us, like, for example, Project Share and St. Vincent de Paul, through Georgia PSC, we have certain things that we put their resources on our website under other resources, so you can find, because we only do heating assistance.
Right.
So we can only pay for electricity if your home is heated by electricity, but otherwise we have to send you to Project Share. Or like for rental assistance, you know, we'll send you to United Way, just so you'll have other resources.
I'm just thinking it's great to connect all these communities together so they can serve their guests in the best way possible.
You know, the community action agencies do a great job of doing that, but they're very independent, but they have all the resources. So when we refer them to the community action agency that's near to them, they can usually ask them about heating assistance and tell them everything else they need, and they can point them in that direction.
So when these people come to you for heat, you don't talk to them about anything else? Like, there's no case management, there's nothing else?
No. Usually when someone calls me about heating assistance, I ask them what county they're in, and I give them the number to their community action agency. And the community action agency, they tell them to go in, set an appointment, and they get all the information, and they distribute it.
So here's my stupid question of the day. We're talking about heat.
Yes.
What about the summertime? Georgia's terribly hot. And is there is there an analogous?
It is, yeah. Because people forget that heat still, you have to take showers.
Right.
You have to eat. So if your house is gas, you know, if your stoves are run by gas, yeah. You still need heat. Now, the heating bills in the summer is not as high,
right.
Which makes it more convenient. But you have people who, because heat can be such a low bill in the summertime, you have people who live like a whole year without heat, and then it gets really cold, and they have all these reconnection fees and back pay fees, and they're trying to get their heat back on. And people don't understand that the number one cause of homelessness in America is people trying to heat their homes by ulterior motives, ulterior ways.
Right.
Like these electric heaters, gas, you know,
right.
Propane thing, fire. And that's
right.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of work in with refugees in Clarkston?
Not directly. But we do support them as mm-hmm. long as they can apply for heat. They meet the requirements, and the requirements are very, very low.
Okay.
But you have to be an American citizen, too.
I did see that on the website, too.
You do.
Is that something that's – is it that y'all's rule, or is that just something that
I comes... think because it's distributed by DFACS.
Right.
And it's set up on the LIHEAP guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you just have to have a valid Social Security card, mm-hmm. ID, and a bill. So we can help. We do help the refugees, but as long as they are American citizens or someone in that household.
Mm-hmm.
Is.
And MAC, do you ever work with them, Midtown Assistance Center?
I am not sure.
Because I know they what they do is they help the whole family with, you know, if they're looking for a job. Or they kind of go through their budget, too, and figure out how they can pay for things. And I think that would be heat would be a good resource for them to know about. So I don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We always tell people when I meet with people, we try to exchange information.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I meet with new groups, I get their names down. So when people call, they do call you about a lot of things outside of heat. And I like to have a lot of resources that if they're asking for, you know, house assistance
mm-hmm.
or lighting, that I can say, hey, what area are you in? You know,
right.
call me, call these.
That's a whole nother job.
Yeah. But if I have it in front of me
yeah.
and I can find it, I always try to help.
Mm-hmm.
What do your other staff members do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I am the communications person. Mm-hmm. I'm the communications coordinator, and we have an executive assistant, and we have a part-time office coordinator, and we have a receptionist through the AARP program. She's a volunteer where we have a elderly person to train for skills,
mm-hmm.
and AARP appoints that person like every 6 months to 2 years.
So let me get that straight. Communications director.
Mm-hmm. Executive director.
Executive director.
Mm-hmm. And a part-time office
manager. A part-time
manager.
Office manager, and then a volunteer receptionist.
That's it.
Good grief.
Yeah. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find your board members?
I am not sure of the board member process. I know a lot of times older board members nominate
mm-hmm.
newer board members. Like if they're going to step down, say someone from Atlanta Gaslight step down, usually they'll suggest someone in their place.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them are like that. They're usually great people in corporate America who can help heat in some type of way, whether it's through, you know, media or technology.
Right.
So usually, you know, someone who has a special skill. So we try to have board members
mm-hmm.
that have different things that can help the charity.
So again, I think I tried to ask this question once before, but we're running out of time. When we get back together for the next episode, I'm really curious about how the organization does management itself on a day-to-day basis. It sounds like fundraising is not the issue for your organization that it tends to be for the other organizations. And
fundraising is always an issue because our need is so great.
Sure.
Because although, like, perfect example, although we raised over $750,000, we had 30,000 Georgians that were turned away because the funds ran out. So by March or, you know, March to May of every year, we're down to zero. So whoever calls after then, we have to say we don't have any. So fundraising.
So it is a challenge.
It is a challenge because, of course, you want to help everyone who needs help.
Right.
But when it's at zero, what can you do?
On that note, let's wrap up this particular episode and we'll pick it up on the next one. This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us. We are recording from Strongbox West in Atlanta, Georgia. Today, our guest was
Violet Meyer.
And how do people contact you if you want them to contact you?
At heatga.org.
Fantastic.
Caroline Eccles, Wellspring Nonprofit Resource at wellspringresource.com.
Yes, excellent. And I'm Mickey Desai at the nonprofit snapshot.org. Actually, it's just nonprofitsnapshot.org. There's not no D in front of it. But thanks again for joining us, and we will see you again next time.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.